Jeremiah 46, against the Gentiles. With the 46th chapter of Jeremiah, we enter upon a series of prophecies against the Gentiles, or as the RV prefers to put it, concerning the nations. But there is no fault to be found with the translation of the Authorized Version, for the word of the Lord is certainly a denunciation of the judgments of God against the nations in question. This series of divine pronouncements against the nations, or Gentiles, runs through the remainder of the book in chapters 46 through to 51. Thus, against Egypt, 46, against the Philistines, 47, against Moab, 48, concerning the Ammonites, 49, concerning Edom, verses 7 to 22, concerning Damascus, verses 23 to 27, concerning Kedar, verses 28 to 33, concerning Elam, verses 34 to 39, and against Babylon. This was in chapters 50 and 51. These oracles were not of necessity pronounced in the sequence in which they are here preserved. Thus we have in chapter 46 reference to the fourth year of Jehoiakim, and in chapter 49 with reference to Elam to the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah. The divine purpose seems to be to group these prophecies together upon the principle of the responsibilities to judgment, respectively, of Israel and the nations. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God will render tribulation and anguish to every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Jeremiah testified to Israel that judgment was to come upon them for their sins. And God had said to Israel by Amos, "You only have I known of all families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." The unparalleled sufferings of Israel testify to the severity of God in the case of the Jews. Were the Gentiles, the nations, any better than Israel? By no means. God had said to them by Jeremiah, "Lo, I begin to bring evil upon the city which is called by my name, and should ye be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts." Egypt was then condemned to drink of the wine cup of the fury at the Lord's hand. And here in chapter 46, the judgments are particularized. Egypt, here given over to judgment by the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, was the corrupter of God's truth and the afflicter of his people, who nevertheless had disobediently and foolishly formed an alliance with their old enemy. Throughout the prophets, God has given reasons for his judgments upon the powers surrounding Israel. Tyre had been in Eden, the garden of God, but had boasted against Jerusalem and was therefore condemned to overthrow. Ammon, Moab, and Edom likewise. In Amos also, though Israel is specially threatened, the surrounding nations are coupled with Israel in relation to the judgments of God, and the divine reasons are given in each case. Thus, in chapter 1, Damascus, Gaza, Tyre, and Edom are judged. In chapter 2, Moab is coupled with Judah and Israel, and the original example of the Amorites is cited in illustration of the divine principles in question. And we may learn from all these cases and from the conclusion of the book of Jeremiah that it would be a grave mistake to suppose that God took no notice of the behavior of the nations with reference to his purpose in Israel and the gospel of his kingdom, which he has caused to be so freely preached among them. Individual resurrectional responsibility is one thing, and national responsibility another. But the divine principle in the cases is the same. It is a question of degree of knowledge and enlightenment. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Gentiles, against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, which Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, smote in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Pharaoh Necho was the king of Egypt, who was withstood by Josiah, and who slew him in Armageddon, causing that great lamentation of Israel that is mentioned in this text and in the lamentations of Jeremiah. It was not the purpose of God with Josiah to conquer Pharaoh Necho, but rather that the kingdom of Judah should itself fall before his conqueror, namely before Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon. Carchemish, or Gargamish in Assyrian inscriptions, was not Circesium at the junction of the rivers Chabras and Euphrates, but considerably higher up the latter stream and some distance to the north of latitude 36 degrees. Professor Rawlinson describes it as the Key of Syria on the east, and as commanding the ordinary passage of the Euphrates. It was, he adds, the only great city in that quarter. This is in the Cambridge Bible. It is now identified with Jarabas on the northern boundary of the French-mandated territory of Syria and the Lebanon. Speaking roughly, the southern coastline of Asia Minor being continued in a wavy line from Alexandretto eastward to the river Tigris forms this northern boundary, and the Syria-Lebanon territory extends southwards to the British-mandated territory of Palestine. History repeats itself, and there are just such conditions of a possible clash between the modern powers of the north and south as there were between Babylon and Egypt in the days of Josiah and Jeremiah. Some years ago, we were strongly reminded of this when obtaining a visa to our passport at Ras en Nakura, the southern boundary between Syria, Lebanon, and Palestine. See the Christadelphian for December 1925. Jeremiah sees the southern invaders of his day dismayed and repulsed. Who is this that riseth up like the Nile, whose waters toss themselves like the rivers? Egypt riseth up like the Nile, and his waters toss themselves like the rivers. And he saith, I will raise up, I will cover the earth, I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Go up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots, and let the mighty men go forth, Cush and Put that handle the shield, and the Ludim that handle and bend the bow. For that day is a day of the Lord of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour and be satiate, and shall drink its fill of their blood. For the Lord of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country, by the river Euphrates. The figure of the flood is very apt. It is as though the Nile had overflowed its banks in the annual rise of the river. The same figure was used by the prophet Isaiah with reference to the Assyrian and Emmanuel's land. And Jeremiah speaks of the impending overflow from the north that was to spoil all the Philistines. And Daniel speaks of the overflowing of the land in the latter days by the king of the north with all his allies. In Jeremiah's vision of the Egyptian flood, the Ethiopians, or Cush in the RV, and Libyans, or Put, are in the southern confederacy. But in Daniel's vision of the time of the end, these peoples are overcome by the king of the north. Verses 13 to 26 form another section of the word of the Lord. How Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, should come and smite the land of Egypt. And it continues, declare ye in Egypt, and publish in Migdol, and publish in Noph and Tahpenes, say ye, stand forth and prepare thee, for the sword hath devoured round about thee. And the denunciation culminates in verses 25 and 26. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saith, behold, I will punish Ammon of No and Pharaoh and Egypt with their gods and their kings, even Pharaoh and them that trust in him, and I will deliver them into the hand of those that seek their lives, and into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of his servants, and afterwards it shall be inhabited as in the days of old, saith the Lord. Ammon of No was the chief of the gods of Egypt. His memorials may be seen by travellers in the land of Egypt to this day. Luxor or Thebes, the No Ammon of Nahum 3, verse 8, is full of them. The avenues of ram-headed sphinxes memorialize the god, who was often represented by a human body with a ram's head. God has obliterated all the ancient glories of the place, as he has declared by his prophets. But as to Israel, it is not so. The chapter concludes, but fear not thou, O Jacob, my servant, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For, lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be quiet and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Fear not thou, O Jacob my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee, for I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have driven thee. But I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee with judgment, and will in no wise leave thee unpunished. That's the Revised Version. No full end for Israel. Wrath to the uttermost has indeed fallen upon them, but with thankfulness to God, we see the signs of the restoration for which the apostles looked so ardently in the day of the Lord's resurrection from the dead.